All right, I'm going to read two verses that you're probably going to wonder, why are you reading those at Christmas time? But I will show you how I'm going to apply it in as the message develops. But familiar verses, probably all of us have these verses memorized, especially one of them. And the verses are found in the Gospel of John, chapter 3. So if you have a Bible and would like to turn there, if you can see it clear enough, you can follow along. But just two verses tonight. I'm going to read verse 15, and then I'm going to read verse 16. And I want you to pay attention to what the Lord Jesus has to say here. He's speaking with a fella who was a Pharisee, and he was a very well-known Pharisee. You will see in verse 1 that that Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews, a ruler of the Jews. Now, what's that mean? Well, that means that he was on the Sanhedrin as well as being a Pharisee. All right, not all the Pharisees and not all of the Sadducees and not all of the Herodians or any other group, not all of them were members of the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin was the ruling body. It's the body that made the judgments and made the decisions. All right, so Nicodemus was up there. He was up in high in the hierarchy of the whole thing, and so he is discussing. He came to Christ, you remember, by night, didn't want anybody to see him, and starts to ask questions. Well, the Lord is answering his questions, and he says to him in verse 15 that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. And here's the verse that probably everyone knows. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. All right, let's pray real quick. And then I want to speak to you tonight on this subject, God's precious gift. God's precious gift. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come now and ask your richest blessings to be upon us as we take a few moments and look at your precious word. Father, I pray that you'll bless the message to our hearts tonight. I pray you'll speak to our hearts this evening. And I pray, Father, that you will draw each one of us closer to you. If there is someone in here tonight who is not 100% sure that they're on their way to heaven, I pray that you will help them to listen carefully. And Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit will draw them to you through the message and showing them that the Lord Jesus came to die on the cross for their sin so that we can go to heaven. So, Father, bless your word now. We'll give you the praise and glory for what you do. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I want to tell you a little story right off the bat here. It was Christmas morning in 1965. I was in the fifth grade, and my dad had just a few years earlier gotten a real good job working for what was then Appalachian Power Company. It is now American Electric Power. And my dad's role in that was to install and service circuit breakers in the switch yards If you're going down the road and you look over and you see a big old fence and there's all these great big things in there and they've got wires running into them and all that, and, you know, danger, high voltage, stay away, all that kind of stuff. Well, those things are what my dad installed in switch yards and what they cared for and monitored in all the switch yards. And so that was a good job and was good for our family. We had previous to that been right at the poverty level. I didn't know I was poor when I was a child, but after about the fourth grade, I started to realize that I'm not poor anymore. I actually got shoes to wear, and that was kind of neat. And I did not have to wear hand-me-downs from my cousin. That was kind of neat. And all kinds of things changed when my dad got that good job with the power company. Now, on Christmas morning in 1965, it was snowing outside. Matter of fact, it poured the snow all of Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. And it was freezing cold, just absolutely bone cold. But that was perhaps, probably, the biggest Christmas that I can remember as a child growing up. Our living room, where the Christmas tree sat right in front of the what we called the picture window, was absolutely just covered with the floor around it was covered with presents. And I can remember saying, wow, we've got more presents under that tree than I've ever seen in my whole life. And we did. We did. And so my mom and dad got us in bed around 9:30, 10 o'clock, and of course gave us plenty of time to fall asleep. My brother and I were so excited. We did not really know everything that was about to happen, but we were very excited about Christmas that year, simply because of all the presents that were under the tree. And the presents just about filled that half of the living room. And so the next morning, when we bounded out of bed, I remember walking into the living room. The Christmas tree lights were on. And there was another light, a lamp that had been turned on. I can't remember if one of my parents was already up, but there was another light that was on. So that when I stepped out of the hallway into that living room, I was absolutely floored with everything that was in that living room. I could not believe what I was seeing. It was astounding. We had more gifts and more presents that in that living room than I had ever even hoped to have received for Christmas. There was a brand new Schwinn bicycle. It was a three-speed, but you did not change the gears on the handlebars. You change the gears by simply pushing back on the pedal, and that bike would just absolutely fly. You could start out in low and low gear, and you could then hit it back, and you go into second gear, and then it was a little more difficult, and then third gear. But when you got to third gear, if you stood down on that thing, it would take off like nobody's business. And I loved that bicycle. I kept that bicycle until I went to college. And as I've told you all before, when I went to college, my mother sold everything I had. everything I had. She called me up. She was all excited. I was first year at school. It was about the end of September. And she said, guess what? And I said, what? She said, we had a yard sale and I sold your motorcycles. Oh, I could have died right there. I mean, could have died. You did what? I sold your motorcycles. She hated those motorcycles. She said, you're going to get killed on that thing. Well, I never did. But I about killed her when I found out she sold them. It was awful. It was just brutal. And she said, and I sold your Schwinn bicycle. And I sold your Fender Stratocaster. I got a Stratocaster that year for Christmas. I got an amplifier that went with it so I could drive the neighbors crazy as well as my own mom and dad. I got that electric guitar. I got the amplifier to go with it. I got a new baseball glove that I used until I absolutely just wore it out. I used it all the way through grade school and in junior high school and in high school and even in college. And finally, one day I found it in a bunch of pieces. I don't know what had happened to it, but it looked like it just disintegrated while it was sitting there. I got a brand new BB gun, a BB gun. Now, that was a bad idea on my mom and dad's part to get me a BB gun. That thing got me in a lot of trouble. I got a new basketball. I got a new pair of basketball shoes. And what I remember as clearly as if it happened this morning was my mom and dad sitting there crying with joy and happiness when they saw how excited and how happy they had made my brother and me. I mean, it was just absolutely an amazing Christmas, all of those gifts. And the neat thing was I didn't have to share them with anybody. They were just for me. And I just could not believe it. None of what was there was something that we had asked for. We had learned that, you don't ask for much because we didn't have much. And so you asked for something simple or something small and prayed that it would be provided for us. But later, as I grew up, I found out that my dad and my mom, both of them, one in Indiana, my mother, and one in West Virginia, my dad, both of them had grown up very, very, very poor. Christmas to them was not what Christmas was on Christmas Day, 1965. They never experienced anything like my brother and I experienced on that Christmas. When we got to talking about Christmases that they experienced, it kind of made me almost cry. My dad's mother passed away when he was just young, and then my mother's mom had passed away when she was young, and so they grew up in poverty. And I remember my dad telling me that one year he got an orange for Christmas. An orange. One orange. That's all he got. Another year, he got a pocket knife. And come to find out, that pocket knife was not new. It had belonged to his dad, my grandfather, and they didn't have anything to get him for Christmas, so he got the pocket knife. I mean, you know, when I heard all of that, it just literally broke my heart to realize what Christmas memories my dad had in light of the wonderful Christmas that they had provided for us on December the 25th, 1965. Now, Dad told me the reason that that he and Mom went so far over the top that Christmas was because they loved us and they wanted to give us all of those gifts, and they could give us all those gifts because of my dad's employment. That they said, I mean, I remember him clearly saying, they just said, so we did. So we did. But the operative word there was Dad saying, we loved you guys so much, we wanted to make you happy. Well, boy, I'm telling you, they did make us happy. I mean, it was a Christmas that I'll never forget. I still have that image in my mind. I can see that image as clear as anything when I stepped out of that hallway and looked towards that Christmas tree and saw that whole living room just filled with gifts. Bicycles. My brother and I both got the same bike. The electric guitar, and it was sitting in one of those little stands that with the amplifier right beside it. I mean, all that stuff was just as real in my mind today as it was on that Christmas in 1965. I had never seen anything like it. And Dad said to me, he said, we did this simply because we loved you kids so much, and we just wanted to give all we could afford to give, and we did. We did. Now, folks, listen. I tell you that story for this reason. Love is the foundation for all giving. It really is. It's the basis for all giving. We give because we love. If we love someone, then we want to give to them. We want to give our love to them, showing how much we love them. In Matthew 2, we learn that the wise men came from the east and they presented unto the Lord Jesus gifts. They gave him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Now, if you'll do a study on those three items, you will find out that each one was representative of a different area of ministry which our Lord provided for us when he came. He is of course the king, and a king deserves gold, doesn't he? Sure. He is our high priest. And so you had the frankincense, which is a picture of intercession. They burned frankincense in the temple when it was time for prayer. And then you have the myrrh. That's a perfume that covers up the stench of death. And of course, they were showing that the Savior came into this world for the purpose of going to the cross to die. So they gave him those three gifts. Now, on that first Christmas morning, there was some wonderful giving that took place. There was some wonderful giving that happened. The greatest gift that the world has ever seen was given to the entire world on that first Christmas morning. And that brings me to the text verse that I read for you out of John 3 and verse 16. And we read these words, for God so loved the world that he, help me, gave, there you go. He gave his only begotten son. His only begotten son. Folks, he only had one. And he gave his only begotten Son for us. Why? Well, the verse says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Why did he do that? Why did God give his only begotten Son? Well, God gave his only begotten Son, the only son he had, he gave him for you and for me. He loves us. And so he gave us the greatest gift he could have given us. God gave us his Son so that his Son could be our Savior. If you remember back in the book of Genesis, in the third chapter of Genesis, the Bible tells us that when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, and when they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the Bible shows us and tells us that they became sinners. They became sinners. So in the cool of the day, God showed up and came looking for Adam and Eve. Isn't it amazing that Adam and Eve, when they heard God coming, they ran and hid themselves? You say, well, Pastor, why would Adam and Eve hide themselves from God? I'll tell you why. The same reason we do. Sin. They did not want God to see them in their sinful condition. And so they ran and hid themselves. But God came walking, looking for them. And God cried out and said, Adam, Adam, where are you? Well, I can assure you, God knew where Adam was. All right, I promise you that. But he was looking for Adam. And Adam said, well, we're over here hiding in the trees. And God said, why are you hiding from me? Did you disobey me? Did you eat of the tree that I told you not to eat from? And that's exactly what they did. And when they did that, they sinned against God. They disobeyed the word of God and sinned against God and became sinners right there, that moment. So once God came and spoke with them, God provided a lamb, one for Adam and one for Eve, and the lamb was offered to make an atonement for their sin. But God then said this. God said in Genesis 3 in verse 15 that he was going to send a redeemer. And folks, that's what the Old Testament scriptures are all about. In picture, in type, in figure, in prophecy, it's all about God sending his Son into this world. That's what it's all about. And then you get to the New Testament, and lo and behold, there he comes. He's born just exactly as all these Old Testament prophets said he would. Amazing, isn't it? God fulfilled the promise that he made. God promised that he would send us a Savior. Why? Well, because we're sinners. And as sinners, we need to be saved from our sin. So on the night that the Lord Jesus Christ was born, God fulfilled his promise of sending us our Redeemer, our Savior. And God gave us that specific gift simply because he loves us. And folks, I'm telling you, that is the greatest gift that God could have ever given, the gift of his Son. God gave us that gift because he loves us. I had a fellow tell me one time, he said, I don't want God loving me. And I said, well, sir, you don't have a say in that. You don't have a say in that. God loves you, and that's all there is to it. Whether you want him to love you or not is immaterial. The truth of the matter is, God loves you. All right? And so we need to understand that God loves us, and that's why he gave his only begotten son. So, folks, what I'm saying is, when we love, we give. And the greatest gift anyone could ever receive is the gift of God, which Paul said in Romans 6:23, is eternal life. Same thing the Lord Jesus said here in verse 15 and 16. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. God's gift is one that will last for all eternity, too. That's the neat thing about it. You know, Mom sold my bike, and my guess is my bike is at the bottom of a landfill somewhere. You know? Mom sold my motorcycle. My guess is that motorcycle is long gone. It's probably melted down to be used for some other cause or some other purpose. But that motorcycle is gone. I've already explained to you my baseball glove disintegrated. I mean, I just went out one day, picked it up, and it fell to pieces. It's gone. But the gift that God gives us is eternal life. It's never going to wear out. Isn't that a wonderful thought? You see, as long as God lives, my salvation lives. As long as God is alive, I am alive in him. It just doesn't get any better than that, does it? You see, that Christmas morning was as fresh in my mind as it can be, even still today. But I tell you another day that is fresh in my mind, because I received a gift on that day that overshadowed all of those wonderful gifts Mom and Dad got me on December the 25th, 1965. And that date is October the 25th in 1970. You say, well, what happened on that day? That was the day that I sat on the pastor's left hand on the right-hand side of the church as you come in, and I heard him for the fifth Sunday in a row preach the gospel and point his finger at me, telling me that I needed to get saved from my sin, and I couldn't save myself, and the church couldn't save me, and baptism couldn't save me, and church membership couldn't save me, and giving to the building fund couldn't save me. And he said, you need to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. And boy, when he said that, the Holy Spirit of God got a hold of my heart. And I walked down that aisle that morning, got at the altar. The youth pastor, who is now one of our missionaries, Gary Lane, the youth pastor, came and opened his Bible and took me down the Romans road and showed me how I could know that I'm going to heaven. And on that day, I got the greatest gift that any person can ever receive. The gift of eternal life. Now, one more thing. I want you to notice, secondly, God's gift is an eternal gift. I just want to emphasize that to you, folks. God's gift is an eternal gift. When you go buy an appliance or some household item or a car or whatever, they will ask you, do you want to buy a warranty for this? Do you want to buy a warranty for this? You see, your appliance might break down. You know, your car just might be what we used to call a lemon. Huh? You remember that? You used to call them lemons years ago. I've only owned one lemon. Man, if I could have blown that thing up, I would have. I'm not sure how I could have honestly explained it to the insurance company that the car blew up. But if I could have gotten away with it, I think I might have tried it. That car was a burden. I mean, it just sucked the money right out of my wallet. It was amazing. And I vowed I'll never, never buy another one of those kind of cars again. And I didn't. Now, don't ask me, because I'm not going to tell you. You might own one. But you see, God's gift is going to last you forever. What a wonderful salvation God has provided for us. It will not corrode. It will not fall apart. It will not disintegrate. It will not ever stop working. As a matter of fact, it is the only guaranteed gift to last forever. It's eternal life. Now look, please, at verse 15, and you'll notice he says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And then in verse 16, he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You say, well, what's the difference? There is no difference. You remember several years ago I taught you that the Bible has its own built-in dictionary. I'm talking about the King James Bible. I can't speak for the others because I don't read them, but the King James Bible, I can speak for it. I've spent my life studying it. All right? And the King James Bible has its own built-in dictionary. If you ever read a verse, and it has something in that verse that you don't know the meaning of it. You don't know what God is saying, what the Holy Spirit is saying. Hey, all you've got to do is just keep reading, and somewhere in the text or in the context, God is going to explain to you what that word means. So we look down. Listen, we're not used to anything eternal, are we? Huh? We're born, we live, we die. That's life. We're not used to anything. We get a pet, a dog, a cat. I don't know why you don't a cat, but we get a cat. I'm sorry, but I don't like cats. You with me on that? Amen. All right. All right, so you own a dog, you own a cat. That cat's not going to live forever. Praise the Lord. That dog's not going to live forever, sadly. We are kid-free, dog-free, and loving it. Yeah. No, never. No. But the point is, folks, nothing here lasts forever. But God's gift does. God's gift does. I mean, it will be here when everything else is gone. And what you see here is God defining for us a word that we just somehow or another can't wrap our minds around because we are so used to everything being temporal. But God says, the Lord Jesus says, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Wow, what's eternal life? Well, eternal life is this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have, wait a minute, everlasting life. It's going to last forever. What's eternal? it's going to last forever. Amazing, huh? But God wants us to know what kind of life he has available for us. That means that eternal life is everlasting life. And that also means that everlasting life is also eternal life. And folks, this everlasting or eternal life is the greatest gift that has ever been given to another. There is no greater gift than the gift of eternal life. None. None. But notice, a person has to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I know folks that go to church and they think going to church is going to get them eternal life. I'm sorry, it's not. You say, well, that's what I've been told. No, read the Bible. How about we go by what the Bible says? And the Bible says, for whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. You see, you got to put your faith in the gift that God sent to mankind. That's what Christmas is all about. Celebrating the greatest gift that was ever given to mankind. Now let me ask you a question. Have you received God's gift? Have you received it? If I were to reach in my pocket and pull out a $20 bill and I would say, hold it up, and I'd say, I'm going to offer this $100 bill to somebody in this service tonight. And I were to just kind of look around, look upstairs, look downstairs, and just kind of go all over the building, and I would say, all right, Dave White, this is your lucky day. I'm going to give you this gift of $20. And so I'd start walking down there, and David would stand up. And I would walk down in front of him, and I'd hold that $20 bill out. Now, folks, I submit to you that I could stand there until my arm falls off. But if David does not receive that $20 bill, he will. But if he does not receive it, then it's not his. He has to accept it. And if David looks at me and he says, well, Pastor, you're going to give me 20 bucks? Yep, going to give it to you right here, right now. What do I have to do for it? Well, now, you don't have to do anything for it. I'm giving it to you. If I make you do something for it, it's no longer a gift, is it? And he says, wow, that's pretty cool. And so here's what he does. He reaches out. And he grabs the $20 bill and he takes it. Now it's his. Now it's his. And folks, that is exactly what God has done with his gift. It's available. Whosoever. You know what that means? Anybody. Anybody can believe and receive God's gift. Now, how about you, dear friend? Have you received God's gift? Let's bow our heads, please. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. No one looking around for just a moment. Father in heaven, you know our needs tonight. As you look down upon this congregation of people and those watching online, you know the spiritual condition, you know the heart of every single person. And Father, I pray that you will speak to our hearts tonight. If there is even one person, one precious soul that you provided your gift, your son, to die for that person's sin. If there's just one, there might be more. But Father, if there is just one, I pray that you'll speak to that heart right now. And Father, draw that person to you so they can receive your gift. And Father, I don't want anyone to perish. I don't want anyone to leave this world and go to a place where there is eternal death. No, we want folks to go to eternal life. And Father, as we have seen tonight, the greatest gift that was ever given was given on that first Christmas morning when you gave your only begotten Son. Now, Father, help us to have the spiritual sight to be able to understand and realize that you sent that Savior, that gift, for us. Bless now, we pray. Our heads bowed, our eyes closed, no one looking around for just a moment. If you're here tonight and you're not 100% sure that you're saved and on your way to heaven, I want you to know something, folks. God loves you. God loves you. And you know, I don't think it's an accident that you came tonight. And I don't think it's an accident that I preached what I preached tonight. I think the Lord has a message for you. And so if you're here and you're not 100% sure, you can accept the Lord Jesus Christ right there at your seat, right where you sit. You don't have to walk down an aisle. You don't have to join anything. You don't have to buy anything. The only thing you need to do is realize you're a sinner. I don't think it's difficult for any of us to figure that out, is it? And as a sinner, realize you need a Savior. And that Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ, God's greatest gift. He came so that you could have eternal life. And so if you're here tonight and you don't know for sure, the Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." What's it mean to call upon the name of the Lord? Well, it simply means to pray, to talk to God. You say, "Well, preacher, I don't know how to talk to God." Well, I can help you with that. Right there where you're seated, if you'd like to receive the Lord, receive God's gift, I'd like to help you pray. But please understand, you're not praying to me. I can't save you. You're praying to the Lord. He's the one that saves. So right now, if you're not sure, would you pray with me right where you're seated? Just simply pray this prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I realize that I'm a sinner and I need to be saved from my sin. And Lord, I also realize that you gave the greatest gift that any person could receive when you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus, to this world. And Father, I believe that Jesus died for me. And right now, by faith, I repent of my sin and I put my faith and trust in your Son, Jesus. I receive your gift, Father, in Jesus' name. Now, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer with me just now and you meant it, would you just slip your hand up where I can see it and say, "Preacher, I prayed with you tonight." Nobody's looking around, just you, me, and God are going to know. You say, "Preacher, I prayed with you tonight and I asked the Lord to save me." Would you slip your hand up right now where I can see it and let me rejoice in your decision? Anybody pray with me tonight? Just slip your hand up where I can see it and we'll rejoice together. How about upstairs? All right, Father, you know our hearts. And I pray that you will seal every truth in every heart tonight. Father, the gift that you gave cannot be matched. And we are so thankful for Christmas and for what it means. It means the birth of the Son of God who gave his life for our sin. And so thank you, Lord, for your gift. Bless now as we sing an invitation hymn. Father, I pray that you'll touch our hearts with your truth. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.